What does fear mean in terms of success? What would you tell somebody, who's looking to create success out of their own fear?
I think fear and relate how it relates to success. I think there is a very direct relationship because obviously, if you're paralyzed by fear, looking at it from the negative side, first of all, then it's impossible to make a move in the right direction or any direction for that matter. And without making a move in a certain direction, you cannot possibly succeed. It's like in soccer, for example. I mean, you cannot win a game unless you score a goal. And you cannot score a goal unless you get shots on goal, unless you actually do something. It's impossible. And what happens with most people is that they get so frightened because of something in their past, usually in childhood or whatever. They're so paralyzed by this fear. I call it the paralysis of analysis, almost like they overanalyze everything to death before they actually, it may even make a move. So, from the negative side of it, it's actually the absolutely, it's the success killer. It doesn't, in fact, it doesn't even, it's a non-starter. You don't even do anything. Now, on the positive side of it, you can, it's the fear that you can take in a positive light by saying, look, I'm frightened of not being in control of my own destiny, right? I'm frightened of being not being able to send my kids to college. I'm frightened of not having enough money to just live, right? And then you can turn that around to saying, okay, I'm going to use this fear as the fire inside me that courses through my veins into taking action. Now the fear can be seen in a positive way because it's how you're acting towards, you're frightened about the right things. Fear is completely a natural thing. Fear is a primal thing, actually, that goes back to it's our genetic engineering that nature put inside us to keep us safe, right? Fear, in a rational sense, in a primal sense, is you can't put your head in the fire, right? You're gonna die, right? Don't walk off that cliff, you're gonna fall to your death, right? Don't approach a saber-toothed tiger, it's gonna rip your head off, right? These were all very primal and, legitimate fears. And that's what nature put there for us to help us survive. But a quick sidebar: a lot of our actions in modern day are come from a primal age where most of our evolution is not in modern day. In tens of thousands of years of human evolution, where we're operating in a subconsciously in a way that's just completely outdated, and so. But that what happened over time is that good. Helpful fear in our modern society became more of a because with all these fears gone away, okay, we're not going to walk off a cliff. We don't have to run away from saber-toothed tigers, right? We know about fire. So there's different types of but that those logical, rational fears became more like a kind of generalized anxiety about life in general and fueled by the media who thrive on fear, who sell newspapers because of fear. Not exactly helping the situation, which is one reason why, to be honest, I don't really keep up with a lot of so-called news, it's poisonous. So, as a sort of starting point, I think that's where, what I would say is fear relating to success,
And I mean, most of the time, obviously, like you said, it's not a tiger, it's not a cliff, it's not something physical in front of us that we're afraid of that makes us turn back. But I will say most of the time, a lot of people don't know what they're turning back from, and I think that comes from being too proud to admit that they're scared of something, I think pride gets in the way here. You hit a brick wall figuratively, and you turn back. So what's the best way to identify that thing that we're scared of, if it doesn't exist in the real world, if it's a
Right.
business challenge or a personal challenge? Within you,
Well,
how do you?
that's a good point because it's almost like children. When And we're all children deep down, you know. But when the correct procedure, if you've got anyone who's got young kids who've been through this, I know, if you've been it through yourself when you were a child, you remember, but there's this whole monsters in the closet nonsense that goes on, right? And the kids will come in screaming, there's a monster under my bed, there's a monster under my closet, you know, it's just a cliche thing, but it's real, you know, kids imagine this stuff, you know. It's like a nightmare, you know, kids have a nightmare. Now, the incorrect response of a parent, by the way, in this situation is to say, that's not real, go back to sleep. Because in the child's mind, it really is real. They believe that this thing, there is a monster in the closet and so on. So the actual correct thing to do with a child in that situation is to get your flashlight out, take the child by the hand, open the closet and look around with a flashlight under the bed and say, oh, well, let's check this out. Okay, but, oh, looks like there's nothing there, you know? And then the kid's gonna go back to sleep, right? Mm-hmm. So that very much the same sort of thing in later life, where we're still children thinking that there's monsters in the closet and the boogeyman's gonna get you and all these irrational fears, they haven't really gone away, they've just taken different forms. And you have to shine a light on the fear, and as you've picked up on, is what actually am I frightened of? What's a question that, you know, you guys will know that I'm often keen on asking in meetings when we're coming up with decisions on things. I'll often say, well, what's the worst that can happen? Mm-hmm. You know, and when I say that, I'm unconsciously shining that flashlight in the closet to try and flush out, well, what are we really worried about here? We had just a conversation the other day, I think, talking about some GDPR situation in Europe, and it was, well, you know, well, what actually is the worst that can happen, you know? Mm-hmm. And then you need to ask yourself that is, well, where are all these fears coming from? What are they? Are they rational? What's the worst that can happen? You can fail. And, you know, yes, there is an element of pride in things where, you know, if I fail, my spouse is going to laugh at me, my neighbor's going to laugh at me, my co-worker's going to laugh at me, whatever. So, well, you know, there's two ways of looking at that. Personally, I'd say, well, screw the lot of them. Second, I would just say, well, don't tell them then. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to make a public broadcast about every little thing you're doing, you know. But you see, that's another fear thing, because unconsciously we're also looking for, again, it's primal. We want to fit in with our tribe so we don't get cast out from the tribe. So we like to have confirmation of our peers that this is a good thing. And quite often, because your peers don't want you to succeed, that would mean they would have to do something. They want to hold you back, so they'll feed you with all these fears that justifies them, and you can go back to sleep comfortably in your existence, and these demons will just come back to haunt you another day. So beware of peers, and understand that these days we don't have to fit in with a tribe. It's okay to be different. Rich people, wealthy, successful people are by definition different, because not everyone is successful. In fact, you know, I really like it when people say, oh, you know, you're strange, or, you know, you're weird. And I thank them, because I say, listen, you've just paid me the best compliment you could possibly pay me, because what you're saying is I'm not like most people. Mm-hmm. I can't by definition be like most people, because mm-hmm. you're a really unique group. So, and don't be frightened to be different, and go your own way.
Yeah, I think that's a good point that Jim brings up about the importance of facing your fears, because I think that's especially when people let fear affect their success or lack thereof. You know, if you're afraid of failing, afraid of rejection, if there's some, you know, job that you think is your dream job, but you think there's no chance you'd get it, and then you don't even go for it, and then you're already failing because you haven't even tried, but they feel better about it because they feel like, oh, well, I didn't really want that anyway, so that's why I didn't go for it, not because I was scared. So I think an inability to face your fears is also a huge contributor to people, you know, not being successful, not reaching whatever goals they have, because it just locks them into these boxes and they just stagnate.
Right. Having a low sense of self-worth is a really, very important point. That, you know, that's it. You know, again, because of past hang-ups, we don't feel that we're capable or worthy of these lofty goals. It's, you know, usually a parent or an adult in childhood telling you, you're no good, you can't do this, you can't do that. And it's really, to be honest, a lot of it is about growing up and understanding that your parents are not God, and to face them. There's a brilliant film you should watch called Oblivion with Tom Cruise, and it's a sci-fi film with just a very deep message, though. And it's, you know, and it's just that final line when it's all an analogy for actually psychology, when he actually looks at the this entity that's taken over the planet and just says, you know, and this entity says to him, you know, you can't, you know, question me. I created you. I am your God. And he just basically says, screw you, and blows up the whole thing, you know. But it's that whole, you need to watch that film, because it's the deeper message is exactly that same sort of thing. We've been programmed to think in a certain way, to believe a certain thing. And one day, you know, the people who are on this call, people who are listening to this, this has happened to them. They wouldn't be here right now. You've started to think that there is some other version of reality here that you might be missing, you know, that these things might not be true that you've been told. The life you're leading may just be a lie. And when you wake up and you have that revelation, you start doing something about it. But that's when you also start experiencing fear, because you're now stepping outside the comfort zone.
Right. And just to touch on that, I'm going to bring up a quote by General George S. Patton. He said, courage is fear holding on a minute longer. So basically, you've got two roads here. You can turn back in the face of fear, but the only outcome is failure. If you can push forward, you can fail, of course, but you also give yourself the opportunity to succeed. And of course, there's going to be adversity in front of you when you do push past that fear. But failure isn't necessarily a bad thing, because it can breed that success that you're looking for.
Yeah, I mean, and there's all, you know, well, I think many, many, if not all, great military victories in history have been born out of a great crisis. Mm-hmm. And this country was forged in such an example, where George Washington was against the ropes, under pressure by the British, troops scattered, and this is a real facing failure scenario. I think most the fear, if you weren't a George Washington type, you know, most people would have just given up right there, and that would have been the easier path. But you see, out of this crisis came a great victory, because he was now, because he made, what I like to do all the time is, listen, when life gives you lemons, you make lemonade. And that's exactly what George Washington did. He thought, right, okay, I can't meet the British on a head-to-head kind of way. So I'm gonna do something different, which is what the Spanish did to Napoleon, actually, which is called guerrilla warfare. So he was fearless, and he was bold, and he took the action of adopting just a different tactic, you see? And that's the difference in what you're saying there. That is, you know, and the rest is history, of course, but and that is really what you're saying there. It's, you know, the level of control we have over other people and circumstances and the cards life deals us is you know, very, very slim. You know, we all we can really do is respond to the cards we're dealt and what happens to us. And this also ties in actually with like a basic part of Zen philosophy, Buddhist philosophy, in that one of the first steps towards their ultimate goal, which is towards enlightenment, consciousness, the first step is called acceptance. In other words, acceptance of your situation, however dire it is, however much you don't like it, the cards you're dealt, acceptance is the first step towards happiness. pain comes from when you are in denial of your present situation. And what happens a lot of the time, of course, is this is where people have this fantasy world, and they'll live their own. I see this a lot around, and it's really, it just never ceases to just amaze me how other people can conjure up this version, I mean, a total version of reality, like a total parallel universe that doesn't match the real world, like, at all, you know? And they will, and this is to avoid pain, but they think it's to avoid pain, but it's only like putting a Band-Aid on a wound, right? Mm-hmm. If you don't take, sooner or later, that wound is going to just go bad, because you've still got this Band-Aid on it, right? It needs to heal with the fresh air in the end. And, you know, that's how most people are going through life, especially today in this world of, you know, Facebook and virtual reality and, you know, so-called reality TV shows, you know, and this just this endless barrage of nonsense 24/7, basically. And if we just live, everyone's living in a fantasy world, their own version of reality that suits them. But, you know, you can run from reality, but you can't hide. In the end, it will catch you, and it'll bite you all the harder when it does. You know, reality is power. facing a reality, however harsh it is, will immediately empower you, because you are now in touch with the universe like a spider with its web. And that is the first step, the first platform to move from, you know, to become fearless and fearlessly accepting of your current situation.
Right, and I'm gonna quote something you say all the time to me, Jim, here. You know, failure is not an option. You know, we have our goals and we strive for them and we're gonna hit them. Has there been any apparent failure that comes to mind to you that's really affected how you view things? And it may not have been, you know, an ultimate failure, but it may have seemed like a failure at the time, but really it was just adversity that you had to push through. It could be in a business sense or a personal sense.
At the top of my head, I mean, there's been many. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to kind of struggle to come up with one instance right now. But what I will say is this, is that we have all these fears of things, and they may or may not happen, you know, and this is obviously the root cause of all worry. But what actually is actually quite liberating in a way is when these fears that we have actually come to pass. Like, we're actually frightened something's going to happen, and then it happens, and it's almost like when we hit with this, it's actually not as bad as we thought. Mm-hmm. and then we surprise ourselves with, once we truly are against the rope, in other words, in the real world, not this fantasy world of worry and imagining,
right,
once we are truly facing that fear, that dragon, as it were, we find an inner strength that just seems to come out of nowhere when we just refuse to go down.
Mm-hmm.
That's the human spirit, and that is our survival instinct. You can trust on that. That will kick in. If you put yourself in deliberately put yourself in difficult situations, in other words, striving success, you can count 100%. I tell you here and now, you can count on that survival instinct kicking in when you most need it, okay? We did not get this far in evolution to just go down quietly into the night, okay? You will stand and fight when faced actually with the problem, the real problem in question, not the one you've imagined or worried about and lose sleepless nights about, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when this inner strength comes out of nowhere, and you will become resourceful and strong, and you will fight it, you know. But the thing is to get out of this box of generalized anxiety and actually get out into the world and fate, you know, you just come on world, bring it on, you know. Let's come on, fire those things at me and let's see. All right. You know what I mean? I could quote a line I love from the Count of Monte Cristo, you know? Life is a storm, my friend. And when the storm comes, you will just look at it and say, do your worst, for I shall do mine.
Right. I mean, I think it takes more work to create this world than it does to succeed in reality. You know, it's almost like conjuring this fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
That's taking all your time and energy. And if you're able to just let that go, you'll see that, you know, the path that you're on is actually much smoother if you just face things head on. And of course you're going to come across things that knock you down, but it's about how you get up. And you know, so for people listening right now who realize that they're at this wall of adversity, that they're, you know, that they've overcome the fear and they're standing knocking on success's door, what's the one sort of thing you can say to them to just push through that? What do they need to tell themselves to push through that door and basically just keep going through to reach that success?
So what stage are you imagining they're kind of in? Like, you know, just give me a scenario just so I know exactly.
Right, so let's say someone started, their own business and they've just been knocked down and knocked down and knocked down, but you know, they know their idea, their product,
okay,
whatever it is.
So they have faith in their idea works,
exactly,
and
yeah,
but they just can't get it to happen.
They can smell success, but
all
they're
right,
just not.
Okay, the first thing I would do is to back up and truly analyze what you're at. Is your idea? Because now, remember, you might now be in your fantasy world, where in your when your version of reality, which is actually not reality at all, you think that this is some amazing idea, and you're convinced it should be selling all across,
mm-hmm,
right? So you may be in danger of having your fantasy world kick in here, right? Not living in the real world. And the way to assess that very quickly is, says, look, what problem is this solving? This service or product I'm trying to come up with, and you're seeing this a lot in analyzing cryptocurrencies, you know, is what actually problem is it solving? What value is it bringing?
Mm-hmm.
And if you, you know, I want to be in a business where it services people who wake up and, like, they have a burning problem they need to solve, right? which is why we're in the, you know, like, you know, money making business. You know, that's a real problem people need to solve, right? Mm-hmm. I want to know how to make more money, right? Mm-hmm. Health business, I have got to fix this problem, right? Mm-hmm. That is a burning problem. You know, nobody, I've said this before, I'll say it again, nobody wakes up in a cold sweat and thinks, I've got to get myself a new fruit bowl tomorrow, right? I don't want to be in the fruit bowl business. You know, no disrespect to fruit bowls, but it doesn't solve a burning problem. And if the business or service you're in does not solve a burning problem, then you might just want to swallow your pride, going back to something we touched on, and scrap it and start again. Remember, acceptance is the first step, okay? Acceptance and reality. So failing that, and if it has passed the test, and truly you're not in some fantasy world, and it is going to be a product that knocks it out, or service that knocks it out of the park, then you have to stay true to that belief, and, you know, and not give up on it. Look at the ways you are executing the plan. Is it correct? Something is off. Be honest. What's going wrong somewhere? And, you know, it's often darkest before dawn, you know? Mm-hmm. And you could be that close to Sachin Patton's quote, you know, you could be that close to it, right? And there's this weird thing about life. I don't know what it is. It puts you through the worst test right before you come out at the end of the tunnel, you know? And to have this attitude where, look, just, you know, you said it and it's a cliche, failure isn't it an option? It's just this do or die mentality where, you know, no, this is going to happen. You know, it's as Napoleon said, you know, as he was just about to try and cross the Alps to make a great victory, and his opponent assumed he would not cross the Alps because that's just not what any army has done before. And his general said to him, no, we can't cross the Alps. And he just said, famous quote, for Napoleon there shall be no Alps. And he went across the Alps regardless, and he surprised his enemy and won. So you just because something hasn't been done before, you know, doesn't mean it can't be done. Mm-hmm. And it's really the only way to break through is just to have that fearless do or die attitude. You know, you know, you don't have to do this. You can just go back. But I think if you've come this far and you're listening to this call now, you've really, you know, looking back is not a choice. You know, forwards is the only way upwards.
Right. So let's take this mindset and flip it into, you know, investing and looking at the stock market. And, you know, all the failures I know we've all come across with trading stocks. You know, you believe this stock is the perfect stock. It's going to make you money. First of all, let's address the people who are scared of jumping into the stock market, who are looking at the market and seeing fear and turning back. Let's touch on sort of what, and I'm going to bring Tyler and Mary Kate in on this too. You know, if you come across a stock and you know, when you first started investing, it was a big, scary place, the market, right? Mm-hmm. What did you tell yourself to sort of push through that barrier of jumping into investing?
I mean, one thing I like to think about is that no one is ever rewarded by fear. You know, if you stick to your fears, if you're afraid of something and you don't do it, then you're never rewarded for that. You never figure out later. You're like, oh my gosh, that's a great thing that I avoided. You know, you really have to face your fears and push through. And I think with stuff like the stock market, where it can be scary, especially if you've never been exposed to it before, you have no idea where to start, then the easiest thing to do is to just start. Start slow. You know, when I started investing, I didn't, you know, invest my life savings, you know. Start out slow, get a feel for it. A lot of times, you know, when we're analyzing stock charts and stuff, there needs to be some kind of connection for us. We can, you know, suss it out a lot better if we are personally invested in it. So start slow, don't be afraid, and just keep pushing ahead.
And to go off what Mary Kate was saying, I mean, I think it's important just to keep your emotions separate when you're, you know, anytime you're investing in the market and, you know, trying to make a profit out of it. With that said, I mean, some of the best stocks you'll see are those at first glance that appear to be doing, you know, in a downtrend, appear to be doing bad. I mean, some of those are what were referred to as Phoenix stocks. I mean, they're taking a dive, but in a way they'll hit rock bottom and then shoot back up. And I mean, I guess that ties into all of this. I mean, that's mm-hmm. a failure in itself. And, you know, they're really, you know, successful at the end of it.
So. Right.
I mean, stocks have a brilliant example here of, you know, as you've both rightly touched on, the emotions behind it, but also going back to what I was saying about how you're this version of reality that you want to be the case and the one that actually is, and this will kill you in stock trading, mm-hmm. right? You'll you'll want this stock to keep going up, and you won't accept that it's hit its stop loss, right? You'll be, and you're laughing because you've all experienced this, you'll be willing this stock to go up. And in your version of reality that you've just made up, instead of living in the real world with acceptance, you would, instead of just saying, no, cut my losses, it's hit the stop loss, get out, right? That is just, that's going to just mess it up for you. The other one is when to sell. You know, is if you've got a stock that you've picked it right and it's going up, like a lot of the stocks that we do. In fact, I'm sure you guys quickly realized that one thing, it wasn't that hard to actually pick stocks that go up.
Right.
The trick comes in when to sell it. Because, you know, if you sell too soon, you take too much, you take the profit off the table too early, you've missed out potential gains. If you sell too late, you know, did you lose the gains? And all these emotions are playing on you. And it comes back to fear again, fear of losing what you made, fear of losing, period. But that version of reality, what most people do, what you're supposed to do is cut your losers early and let your winners run, right? But what most people do is the exact opposite, because they have this version of reality, that the fear of losing their gains makes them take the money too soon. And this version of reality they make up says, I can just ignore my losers and let them just keep going to zero, right?
Right.
And likewise, when you're looking at analyzing charts, you have to be objective and not see things that you want to see. Like, I really want to see, this looks like a good chart and I really would like to play this, but there'll be something in it that's a flag, and you'll try and ignore that.
Mm-hmm.
Because you want to live in this world where I can trade that stock.
Right, and I think it's fair to say, you know, with all the experience in trading and investing at this table right now, we're still guilty of it sometimes. We still look
Absolutely.
At stocks and we still, you know, but what we do is we learn from it. I mean, you know, tinkering with your stocks, looking at it every single day, looking at your open positions is hard. We talk about it all the time.
Yeah, the best ones are the ones you don't even look at,
right,
unless you get an alert that tells you it's gone down, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
and that truly is just facing the reality and not the fantasy. You know, you can, stocks get inside your head when you're looking at those charts and you're looking at the money. You know, there's a lot of emotion tied to that. And just realizing that maybe this one stock was a failure, but there'll be more. And you shouldn't turn back after your first or second or even, you know, fifth trade has failed. There's success in the market and you can dig it out. And more importantly, we can dig it out for you. That's what we're here for. But hopefully this has really, you know, illuminated those fears in front of you and given you that sort of boost you need to push through that wall of adversity that might be standing in front of you right now. That's about all the time we have for this call. You guys got any final notes? I know the market has sort of pushed through its recent batch of volatility and it's looking real strong right now. Just to touch on that,
and there's an example of fear, just to finish off on, is that our system called this a brand new bull market in November 7th 2016. All along this way, how many Chicken Littles have been saying that the sky is falling?
So many.
And we've just stuck to our guns because we are objectively in the real world looking at the chart. Because you see, here's why we love charts, is because the chart is reality. So going back to what I was saying about living in the real world, the chart is reality, and the price that a stock is selling for today is the price that stock is worth.
Right.
Anything else is fantasy. And so that's one of our secrets of success, you know, and it comes to that fearless, objective, you know, living in the real world. You know? Mm-hmm.